Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. My name is Salar. Alongside me is Mr. Cash Like Money, a.k.a. Cashief. That's at underscore Cashief. To your far left, we have Miss Nadia DeCordi.
That's right.
At Nadia underscore underscore DeCordi.
Two of them.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Cannabis Talk 101. Check out our website, Cannabis Talk 101, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis. Call us anytime, 800-420-1980. Go check out our IG pages, at Cannabis Talk 101. Blue, who we're filling in for today, at 1 Christopher Wright, and also who we're filling in for, Mr. Joe Grande, at Joe Grande 52. And you know what, guys? I have some advice for you.
What's that?
Turn the typical into something special. When it comes to infused products, the flavor you taste should be just as enjoyable as the feeling you experience.
Yummy.
Visit the website at www.laronoils.com.
Yes.
Now, we have a special show for you today. You've seen her before. You've heard from her before.
How many times, though? You don't know.
I'm going to tell them, too.
Oh, great.
We're in the future.
You're already telling them the answer. Now you do know.
Yes. So we have Miss Nadia DeCordi here in this Cannabis Talk 101 studio. Up until a month or so ago when she finally flew in, I didn't know she existed. I thought she was like a hologram or...
They thought I was fake.
Or one of those Instagram bots that, you know, just comments on our stuff here and there. They just kept
really?
Telling me she's coming from Michigan, and I was like, oh, bro, you fell for that trick.
Like
did she cash app you? Did she send you a Venmo request or anything? So, yes, no. So, yes, Miss Nadia. Also, I just have to say this because it's how we are. She's, you know, my Persian blood. You know, when I first started working here at Cannabis Talk 101, they had me hop in this meeting, and we had Nadia and Ali in on this Zoom call. And I just felt like home, you know. You guys, obviously, Cam, Cash, Blue, Joe,
yeah.
Jennifer, Erica, Pitt, Danny, all those guys, you know, made me feel like home right off the bat. When I saw these two, I was like, oh, we got Persians in this house. Of course. So just want to let you know that you guys, your family, I just see it that way. I hope you don't. If you don't.
No, I see it that way, too. I feel a lot more familiarity, and it's like affirmation that, yeah, Nadia, even the Persian community can be behind this. And
yes,
it has been a part of the culture, I'm sure, nice. As red wine, mostly. Red wine has been a part of the Persian culture.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Sari.
Syrah.
Yeah, they keep, or Shiraz, but that's friends. That's French.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I'm not the best Persian. Yes. No. I didn't grow up going to Persian classes, as they called it.
Every week. I had school every single day of the week. It was my normal public school. Then, of course, I had Kumon. And then on Saturday, it was piano and all the other stuff.
Oh, man.
Wow. And then Sunday was Persian school day, where it was just learning poetry, history, and dance.
So fun.
It was actually fun. I am grateful. I am grateful because it made me into who I am today, which is a god.
I love Persian weddings.
She's calling herself a prophet here
a
on
god now. No, not a prophet. I'm a god.
Oh, right.
Nice.
Yes,
I was going to say that I love Persian weddings. I went to a couple, and you guys definitely know how to get down on a dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even need to know how to dance. You just copy everybody else, and you just have so much fun.
Did you spin the light bulbs?
The light bulbs.
You haven't heard that?
No, that's not.
Get
Persian.
Out here
oh,
and dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
tell
not
me, yeah,
Persian
like,
dance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, the
Wait
movement
a minute.
Of spinning light bulbs.
That's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
not Persian dance.
Get out here
that's
and dance
Hindi
right
dance.
Now and tell me she's not spinning light bulbs.
I'm not.
No, no, no.
You have to play music. I can't
oh, yeah,
just
got,
be miming.
You can't be, yeah.
You know
Pid, do you have any Mansoor or Cameron or Huma? No, I didn't think so.
It has to be.
I can't. Would you?
Yeah, okay. Play a thing.
But no.
Play a thing. Why don't you do a Persian dance, Mr. Persian man?
I don't
man.
Want everybody to get excited and then, you know.
Oh, but they
everybody
wouldn't
gets
get
aroused.
Excited about a god
Everybody
dancing?
Just, my pheromones start leaking out when I start dancing, you know. So it's, you know, I just it's better.
I just feel like it's going to be like so bad.
So bad. I think I need a.
Listen, you guys, I have learned dance, but that was a million years ago, and I don't have... I'll do it right now if you do it.
It just sounds like you guys need a dance battle right now. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, let's do it.
You need to put some...
No, we'll get
you
to
you guys
be
screwing light bulbs spinning in circles.
No, it's very like... Pick the apple from the tree and put it in the basket.
Well,
what's
yeah,
the difference?
I know that dance too. I know
and
that
like,
dance too.
How's that difference from spinning a light bulb into the ceiling?
That's not a ceiling. This is a tree.
I can't tell
this
the difference
natural,
if you're spinning an
you know
apple.
What? Maybe it's nature's. No, it's not. It's a.
I love it.
It's a tree.
I love it.
Why? Are you like taking light bulbs out and putting it in a basket? You think that women are just doing that over and over again in the same place?
Okay. After you listen to this, go check out our YouTube and tell me Nadia's not screwing
really?
In light bulbs, picking
not.
Apples.
Is
or
I'm
just...
picking an apple. Look, I'm like,
so what you're
look
what
you
looking
apple,
at here is dance
put
moves.
It here.
Man. So, yes, that's
it.
The dance.
It's
anyway,
an apple
so yeah, I didn't think Nadia existed. And then, Cash, you got the pleasure of going out to Houston for C3 with Nadia, correct?
Yeah, so I went with the team and we had so much fun pushing the culture with cannabis in Houston, Texas.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I'm sure it was less fun without me. I had to go to a Persian wedding myself, so.
It was actually dope, man. The hotel we were in, we bumped until, I think,
you told
a
me,
concert was happening that night. I forgot what concert was happening that night, but we were sharing a hotel with, like, Lil' Kim, J. Cole,
swear.
It
Rick
was,
Ross.
Drake had the party out there or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't you bump into someone,
like
right
Ross,
after you said,
actually,
hey,
Rick Ross
cool
stayed at the same hotel
it?
As us.
Yeah, he had
he
the
did?
Same hotel
Rick
as
Ross?
Us. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Actually,
the boss?
Actually met Rick Ross out there, met his team and all that. Shout out to G.
Yes.
Shout out to Jeter out there, Rick Ross road manager.
Yes, shout out to Rap Plug. Shout out to Rap Snacks, all his, you know, yes, all his.
Yeah, of course.
His, just
What's the headline today, Solar? I'm really interested in what you got there.
You been to Southeast Asia, Cash, Nadia?
I have.
Oh.
I have, yes.
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
It's beautiful there.
Thailand dreams of high-end cannabis tourism after marijuana is legalized.
What?
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a pro on this, but I'm pretty sure Thailand was one of those countries where...
One of the strictest. I'm pretty sure maybe as strict or stricter than Singapore, right?
I mean, you're definitely getting your
pretty
hand chopped
strict.
Off if you're having drugs on it.
I right. would think 15 years in jail at least.
Yes,
right?
So according to The Guardian, Thailand's reputation as one of the strictest countries in the world for drug offenses, which is well documented. Cannabis, considered less dangerous drug by the UN, carries the potential for a 15-year prison term.
Wow, that was...
But a recent announcement that is said to be delisted as a narcotic drug could trigger a transformation in how the drug is used inside Thailand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I'm hearing a lot of reports of people enjoying it at resorts, getting it delivered to their rooms, Thailand has one of the biggest tourist populations out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they definitely see the potential in the revenue coming in with cannabis resorts. I'm definitely all for it.
Canada tourism.
Yeah, man. Shout out to any companies out there. Come and fly out Cannabis Talk 101.
Oh, yes. We'll hop on that plane.
We'll definitely.
Or even in the car.
Yeah.
We won't bring Nadia, I promise.
Wait, no. Please take
There will
me.
Be no dancing.
I'll pick all the apples from the trees for you guys.
Or coconuts, right? Yeah. I mean, this is going to happen. We're going to see this trend go on with, I hope Hawaii jumps on board as well when it comes to the tourism. Because I hear that, 90% of their jobs are government jobs, and then the other jobs are tourist jobs. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a big push with tourism and cannabis. I just can't wait to see what unfolds.
Well, it's, like you said, it is a high populated, tourism, country.
Yeah.
I hear about it all the time. I feel like every month I'm hearing, oh yeah, we're going to Thailand. We're going to, Southeast Asia. We're going somewhere. You know, I was just telling Nadia, my dream vacation is Tahiti.
Yeah.
Bora Bora, all that kind of stuff. I love the clear water. I love the I forgot what they're called, the little, the houses with the straw, plants on top of that. The tiki huts, my bad. The white sand beaches, the really warm water. You guys remember that Leo movie? What was it? The beach?
I don't know. You're talking about
Frasier? Why are you thinking about Frasier?
Because he went to a beach like that.
Frasier? That sitcom?
And it was like, yeah. What?
That's why your humor's so damn dry.
What?
I haven't watched Frasier yet. I have watched Cheers. Cheers is a great show. Anybody
Frasier
knows.
Is the shit. You just got to catch it at the right time. And
I just finished Cheers, so I'm about to roll into Frasier.
There's a specific episode you have to watch where Niles is trying to figure out how to raise a baby or if he's fit to be a father. So he walks around with a flower bag.
I think I seen that.
And he's like, it's only been stabbed. I only stabbed it 7 times on accident.
I mean, yo, when it comes to all that tourism stuff, man, I just really want to go out and enjoy the plant. I was going to tie it back to cannabis is going back to his roots.
Yes.
Cannabis being from Asia, it's only right that we explore what cannabis can do out there in those different forms.
Well, that's why I brought up the beach. In that movie, it's about
The guy's talking to the soccer ball, right? Tom Hanks.
No, that's Castaway.
Oh, that's Castaway. Okay.
He might have been out there. They didn't know. He didn't know where he was. But
cannabis would have definitely helped.
But
him.
No, so in this movie, The Beach, it's about these nomads who come to this beach in Southeast Asia. And they make their money when they go back into town selling weed. And there's pot farms, and they have an agreement with these pot farms in Thailand says, don't tell anybody about this, beach. Don't bring anybody else in.
Yep.
And
it's a lot of land like that.
It is, yeah. So that's why I had to bring up that movie.
Yeah,
but
it's like up north, like the Humboldt County, man. You could get in there, but it, once you get in there, it could be a little sticky trying to get out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, man, I'm all for it, too. You're pushing the culture in your own way as well.
So the Guardian states, rather than a stoner paradise, Lynn envisions cannabis being folded into the medical and well-being industry, attracting Silicon Valley types as they travel for corporate trips.
It would work.
I've said this on the show before, California is the number one vacation capital of the world, I believe. Anywhere from Southern California to the most beautiful beaches, I can't say in the world because I haven't been around the world. I lived in San Francisco. Pier 39 is the top three most populated tourist attraction in the world. So California is the shit, I'm still bitter that, Colorado beat us out as far as legalization. I really wanted it to be California first, but hey, I'll take, third or fourth, whatever we were.
Yeah, we were third. It was Colorado and Alaska at the same time.
It was, right?
Yeah. But
as first?
Yeah, but we're America always been first, right? We legalized cannabis in 96.
Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the Mecca.
Yeah,
that's the mecca.
Yeah.
But I'd rather smoke a joint in California than Colorado. Nothing against Colorado.
California's the mecca. My bad, guys.
But Colorado's beautiful. You got your ski country. You got all that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I know that there's some bed and breakfast out there in Colorado that
Colorado
accepts.
Colorado has beautiful, like, beautiful places.
Yeah, like you could smoke a joint going up the hill, going up the ski lift and stuff.
And the gondolas. And all
yeah. So I know.
No, mountain ranges are beautiful. I mean, we got them here, but it's nothing like there, I'm sure.
Yeah, we would have to go to
Aspen,
Big Bear,
Boulder, you know, all that. Yeah.
Love to go there.
I've never been to Colorado, actually.
Me neither. I've wanted to go for so long. Like, actually,
so where are we going first, Colorado or Thailand?
Thailand.
Or we'll just make a
Thailand,
and then we come
my dollar
back
will
to
stretch
Colorado.
Further.
Yes.
That'll be the tail end of the trip.
Yes.
So no, but it does tie into cannabis tourism. You know, that just made California way better. You know, I get it all the time. You get somebody who's from some state, and they kind of come at you with the speakeasy routine about like, hey, do you know where we can get some marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so funny how far we've come, and it's like, hey bro, you don't gotta whisper anymore. It's all good.
It's all over the
and
place.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101 with myself, Salar, Mr. Cash Like Money, and Miss Nadia. Nadia.
DeCordian.
Oh, plug that in again because I know you work for that. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
No. Don't be shy now.
We work
I'm
for
Nadia DeCordy, MBA. Paid for it.
And what is your MBA in?
I'm a global executive. I'm a global executive.
Of the globe?
Of the entire globe. Yeah.
What kind of industries have you worked in?
I've worked in
the IT, auto, entertainment, medical industries.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
But that's even before today, like before I met you guys. Yeah.
Are you still doing it?
Right now I'm doing advisory work for the IT, medical, just the IT and medical industries right now.
Nice.
And how'd you get into cannabis?
Completely on accident.
I like good accidents.
The industry itself.
Well, let's start with because I mean you come from a renowned background of what you just explained. I guess I'm asking you, how to become.
Well, there.
Did it fall on your lap?
Pretty well, you know. I had to go through my MBA to make that connection, my friend, one of my best friends, Elizabeth Rice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Those
from Curaleaf.
Absolutely. Go ahead and explain to the people who don't know.
So she's Elizabeth Rice, director of sales at Curaleaf, and she showed me this app, Clubhouse. And since she's already an executive in the cannabis industry, all the rooms, well, Clubhouse is a interactive podcast. You can sit there and talk to anyone that has a room, or you can create your own room and yada, yada, yada.
As you are right now, yes.
As I am right now. When I got into the app, since I was connected to her, I was connected to just cannabis rooms.
A whole new world.
Exactly. And then what ended up happening is I stumbled into a cannabis marketing room, which was really interesting.
Right.
Yeah, those are always.
Yeah, so she was just, not Elizabeth, but someone else was up there going like, what kind of cannabis content do you want to hear? And at that point, I was like, let me start actually researching this industry. It's new, it's booming, and why don't I sit back and listen? And as I listened, I was like, why don't I target this industry for mindfulness and executive advisory stuff? So I can only do that when I know more about the industry, though. So, yeah.
So you just sat up in on those clubhouses and just
I would sit
absorbed
in,
everything.
Absorb, and then
I'm saying that I'm asking you for the little Persian girl in sitting in her Persian class right now,
Persian woman.
Dancing to the light bulb dance, picking apples.
It is an apple dance.
Yes,
picking apple dance. No, the way that I actually fell into it was the pandemic happened. And I realized that alcohol is not good for your immune system.
Yeah.
And smoking is also not so good for your immune system. So I was like, okay, what can I do to, you know, relax a little bit?
Yeah,
you know,
knock
what
that
can I
job.
Do recreationally? And then I found edibles, and they were already like a dispensary out there, like 20 minutes out. So I went there and I got a few edibles.
So this was literally like last year.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
2 years ago
it.
That you tried your first cannabis product?
No. Legal cannabis.
Oh, legal
product.
Cannabis
My
product.
Legal.
Okay.
Yeah. Back then I got into cannabis because I was with a group of, actually they were Persians.
And they were just all
they
smoking
were Persians
it up.
At Michigan State University, and
they all just flock to each other, by the way. I probably have like 2 or 3 Persian friends, if that. But
just because you guys flock together.
I mean, it's the same way.
Well,
not
it,
exactly. Yeah. We just get
somehow
each other.
Yeah.
So was that your
like,
first?
I know what you've been through. I know what, yeah.
My first time trying, it was
an edible?
No, it was a joint then.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
hold on,
like,
hold on. We're going to save that for the end because you know what comes at the end of the show.
Oh, no. We already did that.
I haven't done that, though.
Wait, you haven't done it? You want me to do it for you? Or you doing
oh, wait.
Me?
She did it before.
Yeah, I did high five.
But okay.
Okay, you
we're
can
gonna
answer.
Do it again.
We all
okay,
did the
fine.
High five.
Have we all done the high five? Well, anyway, so.
You can ask me weird questions. I'm just kidding.
They're not weird. They're fun. But that's it. So I asked this because you know this. You know, I've talked to people who have worked in tech, who have worked in you know finance, who have worked to, you know, in all these you know renowned industries. So it's always fun to learn somebody who has you know a background like that get into cannabis, and it's funny how, I mean, obviously you smoked weed up until that, but then you didn't, and then you decided during the pandemic, you know, I need to relax, as you said in your own words.
Yeah, it was pretty tough back then.
Yes.
It's still pretty tough,
yes,
but you know.
And it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
What did you learn? Okay. What did you learn in such a little time about the cannabis industry, and how does that apply to your life?
Well, what I have learned is that it is an industry that I want to work in. It is full of people that I want to surround myself with.
Yeah.
And it's something I want to help.
Me and Cash have that effect on people, I think. You know, they just sit down with us and think, wow, I'm not going back home, you know?
Well, that's kind of why.
I mean, I think Cannabis Talk
Michigan.
101 shows you
yes.
the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we got that, but she's from Michigan. I've never met. I was in Michigan about 2 or 3 years ago in Royal Oak, and I don't think I saw one Persian, but.
Really?
I found one.
Oh, we hide. Yes. Really well out there.
Well, the Persians don't do great in the snow, but.
Yeah, we do. Look at me. I'm Snow White.
When you go back home and you tell your parents or your family members, like, look, I moved to LA and I'm working in cannabis. How is that conversation? Or has that conversation even happened yet?
It has happened. Well, my family knows that I have a very curious mind.
Yeah.
So I like to do R&D on my own. That's like my hobby. I like researching industries. And now as an executive advisor and advisory board member, I have to keep like researching, because even if the industries aren't feeding into each other, they're still connected in some way. So IT, something happens in cannabis, something, you know.
I guess
I have to be informed.
I guess I'm asking, how does
so
your grandma...
I tell them that.
I'm asking, how does your grandma react to you and what
know.
You do?
My grandma doesn't know.
She doesn't know.
No. But look, we are a media company
that
promotes great companies and great people, irrespective of, you know.
So like, you can't just, like, hold a joint in your hand and walk past your grandma.
I think that would be disrespectful.
Oh, my God.
That would be highly disrespectful.
What a culture shock.
I'll tell you why. Okay, so for Persians, and even in my family, your ability to rationalize your mind is the most important thing that you have.
Yeah.
So, and that even goes back to philosophy, deontological ethics. The most important thing that you hold is your ability to rationalize. So if something takes
that
away
is so true.
That ability, you're losing control
of who you
and
are.
And you're yeah. So in that kind of mindset, you have to think back on that kind of mindset that, hey, if I partake in this, all of a sudden I lose control. And that same thing goes with alcohol as well.
So the joint in your hand represents you losing control to your grandma.
The joint represents me deciding that I don't want to control my rationale.
Wow, man, that's such a big pressure.
Well, I mean, it wasn't even my family that made me feel that way. I mean, it was it's a part of the culture. Your brain is really important. You want to do everything you can to learn as much as you can. And that's the way you can interact better with your environment and find those opportunities and have the ability to execute. Because if you don't have the knowledge, you're just going to be unlucky all the time, going like, oh, the executive from so-and-so came here and he wanted to find a new chief operations officer or a new whatever, but I didn't have my resume in hand. I wasn't in a good mood, and I had a bad first impression. But, you know, that being said, of course, you need to have the background. Like, what if you didn't even have your MBA at that point? Not that. You just want to be prepared.
Yeah, you want to be prepared every time. Yeah. And I think that's what your family wants ultimately at the end of the day is you being rational and being prepared. And I think it's our jobs to really shepherd in this new knowledge of cannabis to our family members to let them know that this actually aids me in my life. And it helps me even more to be prepared. And not only that it helps me on a medical standpoint, it's actually connecting me with people that I actually want to work with.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Because, yeah, for a lot of people, they have anxiety. They have an inability. At that point, it's really difficult for you to think rationally. I mean, there are a lot of... I have anxiety. I can have rational thought and everything, but... Sometimes you need to, as you said in the last episode, I believe, you need to relax a little bit so that you can, you know...
Make the next step.
Sometimes you need to use it to take control of your own body so you can understand and assess the environment. And if you have that education, you'll know which cultivar, what kind of way you need to hit it.
Yep.
If it's an edible, if it's just you drink THCA, like you make the tea...
Mm-hmm. And you could tell when someone's not educated about cannabis just from just a simple conversation about it. You could tell certain stigmas that are attached, certain agreements that are attached. Yeah. And it's like, do I try to change their mind, or do I just be the best example of this so-called pothead to these people? And I feel like every day when I work in cannabis, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle that I'm showing and I'm representing to people that it's acceptable to do this. Mm-hmm. And kudos to you doing all of this and being in a strict family and household, because I remember your last episode, you were talking about that. You were a little bit more in depth on that. And I never came from a household that really cared about cannabis as much besides don't do any other drugs.
I mean, my family was pretty open, but when it comes to, you don't want to lose control. That's the only thing. And, you know, if you use cannabis right, you won't.
Yeah.
Unless you really want to lose control. In that case, you have used it right.
Yeah. But, there's peaks and valleys for all of us.
Some strange way, yes.
Yeah. So.
But no, it's just like you were just saying, Cash, like, you know, you can do something in this space and there is a space for you. You know, back in the day, 20 plus years ago, it was, you know, you grow weed, you sell weed, and you collect, you know. But now it's just so how integrated this industry has become, you know. It's not just in the distribution, cultivation, all that kind of stuff, but canna tech, canna finance, canna, you know, that just like there's finance, fintech, you know, there's med tech, there's all that kind of stuff. And now canna tech, canna med, canna finance all fits into that.
If you just add cannabis to any job title, you can have any kind of cannabis shop.
Right.
At the end of the day. And as long as we're letting people know on this platform that there's many jobs out there, there's even this guy, shout out to Graham Enterprises and shout out to the firefighters doing their jobs.
Yes. Stanton Police Department,
shout out to you guys. What was I saying?
There's space in this business. There's space in this.
There's space in this business for everyone. You're never too late to come in the industry, and do not be scared of what people think about you if you really want to smoke cannabis, consume cannabis, teach cannabis, and work in cannabis.
This is yes. I mean, take it from the three of us up here. We got somebody who's highly educated, and you know just.
And took a leap forward. And took a leap forward and dipped her toe in it and actually loved it and actually is changing her life because of it.
And then there's us, Cash.
Yeah.
And there's I don't have an MBA. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm a college dropout myself.
I tell my parents I have that, but.
Oh yeah, I tell employers that I have it just to get into those doors.
I tell my parents at my night school for law school. You know.
Oh damn.
I'm here. No.
Oh man.
No, but. No, like you said, there's just a space for everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
and Nadia proves that there's a space for everybody, even if you come from a professional background. I even believe there's a mass hiring spree of ex-executives from these Fortune 500 companies for these big marijuana companies just because of their expertise. So do not be discouraged if you think, oh, I work in accounting, I work with numbers, I can never work with cannabis. Yeah, they need someone to crunch numbers as well.
You know what, Cash? Nadia, cannabis does not discriminate. National Cannabis Festival was founded in 2015 by a small group of cannabis enthusiasts who celebrate marijuana legalization in D.C. and across the nation. Join us at the RFK Festival Grounds on April 23rd, 2002 for the National Cannabis Festival. We'll be there. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back.
Yes.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Hello, and welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101 with myself, Salar, Cash Like Money, and Nadia Decoy.
Ooh.
That's right.
All of CannaAid's products are made from the purest top cannabinoids, but you don't have to take it from me. All their products are third-party tested and have a QR code on the label so that anyone can scan and see how pure their stuff really is. Visit them at CannaAid Shop on Instagram or online www.cannaaidshop.com.
Check out CannaAid.
We will. Guys, cannabis hasn't gone bad, but we got some rumors and research. Toxic air pollutants from smoking cannabis with a bong are 4 times worse than cigarettes, study finds.
Lies.
Where was the study?
Researchers at the University of Berkeley measured fine particulate matter in a real-world setting where a group of young adults socially smoked cannabis with a bong for 2 hours in an ordinary household living room. An aerosol monitor was placed where a non-smoker might sit, recording particulate matter 2.5 levels before, during, and after 8 sessions. Researchers found home cannabis bong smoking increases particulate matter from background levels by at least 100-fold. Within the first 15 minutes of smoking, particulate matter concentrations surpassed air quality levels deemed safe by the Environmental Protection Agency.
Mm, but what particulate matter? It's probably about carbons. Like, carbons?
Yeah, a bunch of free radicals in the air, a bunch of things that are carcinogens.
But they should define that in the study, don't they?
They probably
define what?
Define particulates.
They probably just particulates probably encompasses everything.
I think I'm the idiot. We're all idiots on this one, but I don't know what it means. Here's what I know though. I always thought a bong was the best way. I don't want to say the healthiest way that you could ingest cannabis because you have that water filtration.
But hookahs are much worse for you than cigarettes, and it's the same kind of thing. It's water and tobacco. So it's like the idea is like it sticks to your lungs. That's how I was like.
Right, with the vapor, water vapor.
So maybe the bong isn't so great for the lungs at all.
I think it's about what's being collected. I think it's what's being collected in the bong itself, that's making it more pollutant than other methods of smoking, because the bong. I was just reading, like, if you don't clean your bong, you get respiratory problems. Because of all the stuff that's collecting in there. So,
of course you would.
Like, I see why it would be dirtier, because you are reusing that thing over and over and over. You're not reusing a cigarette.
Well, bro, you don't switch out like a flower vase? the flower's gonna die, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bacteria. The same thing, but no, I mean, it's bacteria.
But it's plant matter. You're still having plant matter going there and stuff. So I'm guessing I would want to see this study done in a hookah lounge as well.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. But it would be great. Tell us more about the study.
There's negative attitudes to secondhand tobacco smoke, but not really to secondhand cannabis smoke. What we want the study to do is really elucidate and help people understand that there are public health concerns. So again, back, this was again 10 plus years ago, I researched that there's no correlation between secondhand smoke within cannabis and secondhand smoke, harm. But tobacco, obviously, there is. You know, you can, in California, it's illegal to smoke with a minor in your car, mm-hmm. whether the window's down or whatever.
Yeah.
Good.
But I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. It's just, always clean your bongs. Shout out to 420 Solution. Clean your bongs with them, because it's a dirty thing. I used to work in a cannabis cafe, and one of the hard stories that came out of the cannabis cafe was that people were getting like hepatitis because or herpes because of the bongs not being cleaned and stuff like that.
When
the real threat is literally not cleaning your bongs properly and you getting respiratory problems,
yeah,
you know?
But I doubt for a study they used like a dirty
bong. So it's funny you brought up hookah. Study authors said concentration from cannabis bong smoking were at least 4 times greater than concentrations from secondhand tobacco smoke from cigarettes or hookah found in previous studies. Now, I always knew a hookah was the worst thing for you, and I, for some reason, when I was a kid, it's like a wet tobacco. You smoked hookah, Cash. I know you have, Nadia.
Do you know?
Because of Persian blood.
No,
you know?
It was a cool thing to do in high school when I was 18.
I mean, I've enjoyed hookah. I'm not going to be one of those hookah smokers that can smoke all night, stand on top of the couch and puff it down like, oh, man, I'm smoking hookah. I'm the man. Because you don't get high off of that.
And you're not supposed to inhale.
Why are we constantly smoking?
So, yeah. Okay, I didn't know that when I did it.
Not inhale into hookah.
And I did inhale it, and I did get kind of buzzed.
You get a lightheadedness. Oh, yeah. But then after that, you want to throw up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, because like all these little vape pens now, that's like a pocket hookah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like a flavored little...
Yeah, but it's safer like because... It. I mean, it's safer in a way because it's not holding those carcinogens and you're reusing... Maybe it has some carcinogens.
Hey, the studies are going to keep rolling out, man. Those things can't be good for you.
Honestly, whenever I talk to a patient and they're like, what's the safest method? I always go to edibles, man.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Edibles.
Tinctures in its rawest form. Yeah. Or even a
volcano. So it hits your liver, right?
Or even a volcano, mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, and then I would even probably stretch out maybe dabbing a little bit is a little safer because... You're getting the straight stuff into your system and you're not burning anything. You're actually vaporizing it.
If you do it right.
So if you're doing it right. But other than that, all the smoking thing, man, some kids out here are starting with the pins and they're like,
yeah.
And they're looking at the weed like that's an old school thing, man. And I'm like,
Well, think about it. Even as an executive, I was in my office and I didn't want to smell like weed.
Yeah.
No offense. I didn't want to because it's like, why do I want to get out of the green closet to this random client or no, random person?
Yeah.
I want to have this meeting. I want to talk to them and I don't want to smell
cannabis. Yeah.
Vape pens give you that freedom.
Can you imagine
like
having
anything?
A vape pen in high school? I mean, Cash, I think you and I are around the same age. Nadia, I'm not sure about you, but Pitt, can you imagine if we had vape pens in high school?
Man, I was holding ounces in my locker, bro. I was holding ounces in my locker, and my locker was stinking.
It was loud, right?
So if I had a vape pen in high school, I can imagine, the murder I would be getting away with, smoking all the time in class or just smoking in class to get away with it, just to see if I can get away with it.
Right.
I mean, you see those videos today, and I'm like, yo, you kids are crazy for bringing them in. But
I was the kid with an apple in my car,
Yeah.
Just
sticking the pen through the apple, throwing it in there.
Yep.
When I got desperate, and this, I know this is not good for you, the soda can.
Yeah.
You guys ever did the soda can?
Yeah, it takes a little aluminum when you hit it.
Oh, man, that is terrible.
That shit is so bad, especially when you have a little bit of weed. No, or the beer can. It tastes a little better in the beer can.
Well, how about the big pens? You guys ever, when you were younger, you get the big pen with the metal tip, and then you it off, you flip it around, you stuff it right back in the pen.
Oh,
you pack it.
Or you take a little aluminum foil.
I'm learning
foil,
so much right now.
Nadia June. Oh, man.
What? You this guys smoked out of pens?
You got a
pens,
you got
apples.
A MacGyver it. Yeah, you got
I've MacGyvered an apple before.
Nice.
Yeah, I had to YouTube it and everything. I was like, this is how it works, because I broke it. I always
wanted to get away with...
So I had to make an apple.
Yeah, I always wanted to get away with...
And when she picks those apples, she dances, by the way, yes.
No.
This guy cannot stop with his dance, bro.
No.
Yeah, you getting away with it all the smoking methods. You kids are lucky these days. You can smoke anywhere you want. It just puts a lot of pressure on us to make sure we educate them and let them know that this is not necessarily the way you ingest cannabis or the time to ingest it. Like,
well, it's so funny because like going back to the bong, it's like you get these, you know, $100,000 bong, not $100,000, but $100 bongs, $1,000 bongs, and they got these crazy percolators, which is like, you know, what the selling point is, right?
Yeah.
And it's like...
You talking about Jerome Baker's bongs? Is that what you were saying?
Jerome, all of them, yes. Those are gorgeous. NX, shout out to NX, yes.
Yo,
all those. But
I know, man. I was never a kid that had a bong, and I never smoked out of a bong when I first started smoking. It was always blunts and stuff. But, like...
I remember my first bong hit.
I wonder if there's a study to show, like, bong users' lungs versus, like, blunt users' lungs and stuff, or, like, other methods, because that might be more interesting. It might sway people from just stopping the smoke.
Well, then it's... I mean, from there, I feel like you'd have to get somebody who's never smoked anything else but a bong versus...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody who only smokes, you know, papers or blunts.
Yeah, we gotta do that study, man.
We can do that shit right now.
We can do it right here, man. We got Pitt the doctor over there.
Pitt, I'm gonna need a bong, a swisher.
Dr. Pitt.
A zigzag.
Make it into the show.
I got you.
But no, so that's like, I mean, like growing up, it was you smoked zigzags or Rizzlas. You know,
just take snaps.
Rizzlas.
Huh? Feel me? Get the bong, take a little snap.
Yes. Your
Yo,
personal snap.
But in New York, we over here rolling up oops.
But
you
that's
know about
the thing.
A
when I was in New York, we rolled Dutches.
Do you know about
because you guys smoked L's?
Yeah, but that's a oop is two Dutches connected together.
Really?
And we pass it around and it burns for about an hour and a half.
Nice.
That depends if you put three, but yo,
why
that's
don't you bring your New York? your New York.
You want me to roll up a oop?
Yeah.
Next time when Soulja Boy comes on,
ooh,
I'll
he's coming to Kush Talk.
I'm not smoking.
Soulja Boy will be at Kush Talk, so
yeah,
I better see you.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll
with
up
a
oop at Kush Talk.
I said I'm not smoking after Soulja Boy.
You know? Oh
not
yeah, yeah.
He was flicking on that blunt.
Oh yeah.
My hey, man, word. Once I give him that oop, I'm not getting it back.
No. When you roll personals, that. I don't think he was. I don't think he passed it to any of us, huh?
Nah, so he didn't pass.
He didn't give
anyway.
A shit. But hey, shout out to Kush Talk. Shout out to Soulja Boy. We'll be there this Saturday, April 9th.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, I can't
in
wait.
In Adelanto, California.
Yeah. We rented out the whole stadium. It's gonna be a bunch of sponsors. We're gonna be smoking. We can actually sell on site.
Yes.
I can't wait to go broke. But
it's actually gonna be tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
That's tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's Friday.
Tomorrow.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. It's coming up.
We don't normally record on Fridays. No, hey, we'll see you guys tomorrow morning in Adelanto, California, Pitt.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow, that came quick.
Yes, it does.
Came too quick. You know,
we're traveling through time and space, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And we're already, it's already a day before Kush Talk.
Man, it's just function after function, and it's going to be a good summer here
with
Cannabis
stops.
Talk 101. And remember this, if nobody else loves you,
we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.